You won't find a better deal on science-backed pregnancy supplements than at Ritual's Black Friday sale. Get what you really deserve, like a prenatal you can trust. Made with bioavailable key nutrients, it even earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. Save 40% on your first month at ritual.com/pregnancy support. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize, maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
My name's Abby Murphy. Welcome back to the That's Life podcast with, I always say, hi, I'm Abby Murphy, and then I introduce the podcast, and then I want to be like, with Abby Murphy, but I can't do that because I just said that I'm Abby Murphy. Anyways, but yeah, I'm Abby Murphy. I'm 19 years old. I go to Belmont University, and you are listening to a Christian podcast dedicated to walking through and navigating the rough transitions of life. A lot of things that the churches don't tend to talk about as much stereotypically. Now, if you find a good church that will touch on all of the topics of the nitty-gritty stuff, I'm like, give it to me. I need to know all about it. But for majority of, you know, just new believers coming to the church, you'll find really great sermons, but we also have questions on, you know, weird things and transitions in life, like, I don't know, I mean, from menopause to starting your period, from learning what female and male parts are to fill in the blank, whatever. These things are a little bit less talked about, but that is why I'm here, because I have hashtag no filter. Thank you. Anyways, you are meant to be here. You're supposed to be here, and I'm so happy that you have decided to join us. I'm going to give you guys a little life update, and then we're going to get into the nitty-gritty chunk of what this podcast is about. Today we are talking about confidence, how to find our confidence in places when we feel not confident, in places where we are put in situations where we don't really know what the outcome is going to be. Therefore, we go into them with the worry and the fear that starts to creep in. But one thing we need to know is that that worry is not from the Lord. He would never send worry or anxiety into your heart. That is of the devil, and we're going to talk all about it. But first, let me give you guys a little life update. So I have two pimples, and it's making me really sad because I have a pimple. It's both on my right side, and my forehead is breaking out. Not like breaking out. Like, it's like all the pimples where you feel it, and it's like beneath the surface, and they just need to like erupt. And like, I've been telling my friends, like, I have pimples brewing underneath the skin that are just gonna like rise, and I want to pop them so bad, but I know if I pop them before they're ready, I mean, I know you're not supposed to pop them like at all, but like, no one does that. And so if I pop them before they're ready, I'm just gonna squeeze my skin. It's just gonna make a scab. So I'm like, patience is key, honey girl. But I have one on the right side below my nose, like kind of like where a beauty mark would be, like the little freckle above the lip. And then the other one is on the right side of my chin. And I'm just like, just get ready. They're just marinating there with all of the gunk. And I'm like, it's time for you to show yourself so that I can pop you. Anyways, that's that on that. School's been great. I've had my first full week, a Wednesday to a Wednesday, because we started on a Wednesday. I'm exhausted, but in the best way possible. Like, I have a lot of schedules. So the way my schedule, I'm going to give you guys my schedule. So Mondays, I have an 8 o'clock class and a 9 o'clock class that ends at 10. And then from 10 to 2, I have nothing, which is great. And then from 2 to 4:15, I have rehearsal. Mondays are great. Tuesday is my busiest day ever. I have an 8 o'clock class, a 9 o'clock class that ends at 9:50. And then I have a lesson from Tuesday I have class from 8 to 9:15, and then a lesson from 9:30 to 10, and then class from 10 to 10:50, and then class from 11 to 12:15, and then a lesson from 12:30 to 1, class from 1 to 2, rehearsal from 2 to 4:25. So that's like the busiest day. Wednesday, I have an 8 o'clock class, 9 o'clock class, and then my break from 10 to 2. And then I have a class from 2 to 3, and then a class from 3 to 5. But he's really nice, and he's kind of splitting it up because it's choir. So he's having the boys come for the first hour, the girls come for the second hour. So technically, I get an hour break in between there. And then my Thursday class, I have 8 to 9:15, and then I have 10 to 10:50. And then I have 11 to 12:15, and then I have 2 to 4:45, I think, 4:45. And then Fridays, I only have two classes, and it's 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And then on top of that, I have senior show rehearsal, and that is my week. So I'm a little bit exhausted, but in the best way possible, because my classes are like conducting and acting and dance. And I have theory and aural skills, which, if you know what that is, if you're a music major, it's like, music theory is basically like math for music notes, and then aural skills is like hearing a note and then being able to like sing it on pitch, or like someone says this key and this is do, and you know, just whatever. It's like, you've heard of like do, re, mi, fa. Sorry, I'm just talking so much about it because that is all that my brain has been hearing forever. Anyways, I love it. I truly love it. And people are like, oh, I'm so sorry that you're busy. And I'm like, but I chose this. This is what I chose. I mean, I could have chosen something else. Like, I'm not, you know, don't feel sorry for me. I chose to do this. It's my choice. And yeah, it'll be exhausting some days, but it's exhausting for everybody else too. I mean, people that sit in lectures all the time, like, that's mentally draining. And you have essays to write, like lots of essays. Like, I maybe write 1 or 2 essays a semester. Like, yeah, it's a lot of time and energy, but that's how I'm choosing to go with the path of my life. Like, other people who are gonna go do business or go do, you know, whatever you're gonna do, where it's more like lecture class type of things, it's like, well, you may have less classes, but you might have more work, or you have a job, or, you know, and I'm lucky enough to where I don't have to work a job. Some people in my major do have to work a job, and I'm like, oh, how are you doing it? I don't know. But I'm lucky enough to where I am able to, you know, have, like, take my free time and not have to work. Now, I am working a little bit, which starts this month, because you'll be hearing this on September 2nd, and it starts this month. And I am going to do weddings, just for like a couple. I'm doing like 3 this month. My sister needed extra help, like with her job. So I'm working a couple weddings. I'll get some wedding food, some wedding cake. That'll be fun. But yeah, that's that. And then basically the only other thing, this is like all just, if you're not interested in theater, this is like not going to be interesting to you at all. But I also have these things called SETC auditions coming up, which is basically like a cattle call of auditions. So like all of these companies come, like amusement parks and summer stock, like summer work, people who need actors, basically. They come and you present this 1-minute audition. And then they offer you a job if they want you. But in order to get there, you have to submit a virtual audition. So I have to get a cut ready, and then I have to do all the stuff, and, you know, but it's training me for the real world. Like, I'm going into a job where I'm not going to get rest, and that's going to be okay, because I'm trying to find balance in it all. That has been my thing. I've been constantly just like praying, like, Lord, remind me of balance. Lord, remind me of balance. Like, keep me grounded, keep me prioritizing stillness, because it gets really hard, and I'm already finding myself sitting down and being like, you could be doing something right now. And then I'm like, no, because mentally I need to enjoy people. I need to enjoy time. I need to enjoy stillness. I need to enjoy being by myself, and I need to enjoy wasting time. Like, I need to waste time to remind myself that my schedule, the work I'm doing, that's not the priority. You know, it's not. And truly, when you think about it, is working and working and working for a goal that you kind of lose sight of because you get so caught up in the work, is that really a way to live? And like, if it ever really truly gets to that point, I'm gonna have to stop. But I don't want to stop. I love this. And so I'm just trying to navigate you know, how to find stillness within the craziness. So I'll keep you guys updated on that. We'll see how that goes. But anyways, transitioning, this week I have felt a lack of confidence big time. And what happened, so I'm going to just give you a little story time. So basically we were in rehearsal. It was the first rehearsal I've had in like maybe a year and a half since my senior year spring. It was like the first rehearsal that I've had. Because freshman year in college, I don't know if I said that. I go to Belmont. I'm a sophomore, and I'm studying musical theater. I don't know if I said that, but I am. And they don't allow freshmen to perform their freshman year unless, like, they need some boys or something. But, yeah, so it's my first show, and I'm really, really excited, but I was really nervous, and I didn't anticipate being out of the nervousness practice. Like, I've been practicing drilling these songs, memorizing these lines, memorizing my songs all summer. I was getting ahead and I was ready and I felt really, really confident. And then I just underestimated how my nerves would get the best of me because I haven't felt nervous in like that in a long time. And so I really, the first rehearsal, the first two or three rehearsals, I felt very just not like my confidence went down and I was so confident. I was so ready. And then what I knew I could do didn't show in what I actually presented, within like my singing and my performance. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I just had to remind myself, if you listened to the last podcast, you could hear it a little bit, but I was like, okay, like I'm not trying to prove anything to anyone. This is just a starting place. Like this is just where I'm going to start and I'm going to grow because I know what I can do and I know it'll happen. Like I know it'll show once I get into the routine of things. But like that initial lack of confidence that I had when I had my first, I guess, quote unquote mess up was just like, oh, really? Like, come on. And then that's when the worries start happening. Like you go in and you might feel confident, but then something slips up and automatically you just go right back to where you were. And you just like the enemy is just sitting there lurking, like waiting for just that moment for him to be like, oh, and now's my chance. Like it's just like this tiny little second window. And if you just let him in, then he can take over really quickly. So that's the kind of what went behind talking about this today. I'm going to dive into it, but first we're going to pray. So bow your heads, close your eyes. Don't close your eyes if you're driving. Don't close your eyes if you're running or even walking, but just pray how you pray. Sometimes I find myself like in prayer, opening my eyes, just looking around, but I don't feel bad about it. So I'm like, you know, whatever. Anyways, I'm going to pray now. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for being here. And thank you for, revealing to me and reminding me that you are so present even in the busyness, and thank you for constantly allowing me to hear your voice even when I don't really want to. And you know, saying that sounds kind of bad on a podcast on a mic, but like you know my heart, and you know that I'm human, and sometimes I don't want to hear your voice because I want my plan to happen. But Lord, you are gracious and you continue to remind me gently and largely, I guess, that, you know, your plan, it triumphs overall. And I pray that I continue to respond quickly and urgently to what you're calling me to. And I pray that the listener responds in an even faster way, and that they listen for you and they cry out for you, Lord. So be with this person, whatever they're going through, and help this message speak to them. Yeah, that's all I have to say, Jesus. So thanks for being awesome. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Prayer is awesome. I love it. And I've really become confident in just having it be a conversation. Like me talking to you guys is no different from me talking to God. Now, yes, he is in a place of authority. I'm not saying that God is the same level as me talking to a friend. It's kind of like when I'm talking to a friend versus talking to a teacher. Like when I'm talking to a teacher, I'm going to use different, you know, dialect than when I talk to a friend. Like if I'm talking to a friend, I'm like, oh my gosh, like look over there. That person's making a hot dog or something. Yeah, I don't know. Now with some teachers, I would say that. But you know, if I'm writing an email to a teacher or something like, hello, my name is Abby Murphy, blah, 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 blah. I think that is kind of a good way to interpret for myself, at least, how to speak to the Lord. Because sometimes it's like, do I talk to him like a friend? Do I talk to him like a ruler of an army, and you know, he's both. He is both. He's all. He's everything. He's all around. And I don't have an answer for you how you should speak to the Lord, because I think it's personal. You know, some people I hear and they're like, "Hey God," and that's how they start their prayers. Some people start with Lord, Heavenly Father, Jesus, you know, throwing out all of the names. But what it does say in the Bible is to call upon the Lord and he will listen. So I do believe that, you know, we start our prayers with Lord, God, like repeat his name in the prayer. It's like we are calling out to the Lord and he will listen, but you've got to call out to him, you know? And so often it's like, well, I just pray through someone else, or I just pray through whatever it is. For me, I catch myself like, oh, well, I just, you know, write down my prayers. Okay, that's great. But if I just write it down without thinking, or I'm saying this to the Lord, it's like, well, you're just writing stuff down then, you know? It's like, I got to call upon him first and be like, Lord, like, hear this page, see this page, smell this page, like, feel this page. I am writing this to, for, through you. But anyways, that's my little prayer reminder. But yeah, I mean, even confidence in prayer, it's like people are like, oh, I don't want to pray because I don't think it'll be good. If you're talking to the Lord, if you're praying, it's good. Who cares? Who cares? It's to Jesus. Like, I don't have people, I don't filter what I say, really, talking to my mom, because I'm afraid of, like, that people will think it's a bad conversation, you know? So when you think of it in that way, that it's just a conversation between you and Jesus, like, who cares what people think, you know? Now, it is in front of people, and I understand. It's scary. It's normal. It's human. But just start to remind yourself that it's a conversation, and maybe that confidence will come through. But I looked up the dictionary definition of confidence, and on the World Wide Web, it says the feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or something, firm trust. I think that's a great definition. I really do. The feeling or belief one can rely on someone or something. As Christians, we are putting our full trust in the Lord. So in the definition, it says firm trust. So we are having a belief, a blind belief on and in and through someone. How do we go about this? I am not confident when it comes to lots of things. Some things that come to mind. Voice cracks. I have voice cracked since day one, since I started singing. When I speak, I just voice crack all over the place, especially now when I sing and I get nervous, I just voice crack. And it is one of my most, like, my biggest insecurities. I am just so, I don't even know, like, I just voice crack. I do it. Like, people know I voice crack. It's just a thing. And it's not like a voice crack here and there. It's like, I do it consistently. Like, I just do. That's just how I am. And yeah, it kind of knocks my confidence down a lot. I get stage fright, which kind of plays into the voice crack thing. For auditions, I get super nervous, super, super nervous. Now, I've been able to channel that nervousness a little bit and sit and remind myself, like, I'm really just singing to Jesus. I'm not, like, these are just people. These are people that I'm friends with. These are people that I may not know, but they're people just like me. They woke up and probably had coffee and breakfast this morning just like I did. Like, they're just people. We're all brothers and sisters. We're all on the same level in God's eyes. So if I'm going for this audition, or I'm going in front of these people and presenting something that I've been working on, but we're all equal, and the only one that's not equal with us is the Lord. Like, I am doing this for the Lord. He has given me this opportunity to do it. So why should I lack confidence just because people are watching? Because the Father's the one I'm singing to, and he's always watching. And if you get nervous in front of the Lord, like, okay, but he's not going to ordain that nervousness. He doesn't want you to be nervous in front of him. Another thing not really going along with, like, the art side of things, body image. That is something I think everyone, boys and girls, men and women, can relate to, whatever age you are, whatever gender you are. It's like, body image has become such a big thing, especially with social media. And it just makes me sad. because it's like, what is skinny and what is fat? What is plus size? Why is skinny have this kind of connotation and why does fat have this kind of connotation? Why do you have to be plus size in order to be a plus size model? Like, why is plus size a different category, I guess? Why, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. There is change, but even in that body image world, it's like, there is an image, a stereotypical image of what is desirable, but that changes. Every 10 years, that changes. And society puts this desire of, oh, this is the ideal body type now. This is what our eyebrows should look like. This is what our lips should look like. This is what your hips should look like. Big boobs, little boobs, big butt, small butt, large arms, little arms, slim, toned, like super buff, tall, short, black, white. I mean, it's like there's everything, like dyed hair, fake hair, no hair. I mean, it's like there's been everything involving appearance. And it's like at the end of the day, like it changes all the time. So if we're allowing our confidence to be found in society, well, I'm sorry to tell you, but that's going to change. So you are going to change and you aren't going to have something that you can fully rely on. So that right there explains why you aren't confident. Because body image for me is such a just touchy subject, because I am so passionate about the Lord has designed you the way He wants you to be. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be able to move your body. He has given us legs. He has given us arms. He has given us a desire to work. He has given us the ability to be able to move in jobs that we do and get up from a chair and walk to go to the printer or dance in theater or walk on a runway or play sports, the obvious one, or walk from, you know, the drive-through window to the frying pan. I mean, these are all things that, like, our bodies are machines. They are mechanically, I guess, like intertwined or created. I don't know how Jesus created bodies. Don't ask me. I didn't create them. He designed your whole being in His image. Start to tell yourself that. Start to believe that. Pray through those words. I am made in God's image. I am made in God's image. And you will soon start to transition finding your approval, seeking the approval of the world through your body image, to seeking the approval from the Lord. And you don't have to seek for His approval. And you'll learn that and you'll understand that. And then that confidence will shine through no matter what stage your body is in, because your body's going to change all the time. It is going to change constantly, especially for women. We go through many stages of the menstrual cycle, starting from hitting puberty, pregnancy, menopause. I mean, there's everything. And for men, you know, I'm not a man, so I can't relate, but I know if you are a male listening and you have struggled with body image, I know. I've experienced close friends that have, you know, opened up to me and we've worked through that together. I get it from the male side of things. It's real and it's not talked about at all. This is all due to society telling us we're not good enough. Therefore, it's a lack of confidence. But when we find our confidence in the Lord, who shall we fear? What shall we fear? What are we afraid of? Like, of our body looking different? Like, why? Why are we scared of that? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26 says, "Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge." Don't fear what the world tells you. Fear the Lord. Because when you fear the Lord, when you say, oh my goodness, this is the God of heaven's armies, He is so powerful. That's almost like a fearful thing, to where it's like, I'm secure in that. I'm secure that I know that the God of heaven's armies, who I fear, loves me and has made me in His image. He controls everything. And that's like a fortress around you that you can tell yourself. I don't know. I kind of went on a tangent, but it needed to be said. Another thing that I think everyone can relate to is you don't have confidence in, everyone has been through the school system. Okay, so tune your ears in. If you've been dozing off a little bit, turn your listening ears on. when you remember, whether you're here right now or you're past it or you're not at that serious level of work yet, when you had a big test or something coming up, everyone's been there, and you don't put in the work, you didn't do the homework, you weren't prepared, you don't feel confident for what you're about to go through. Whether you're going to have a seminar class where it's discussions and you didn't do the reading, you won't feel confident. Or if you have a test and you didn't do the studying, you won't feel confident. I believe this is the same way with the Bible, because as Christians, we find our confidence in the Lord. We find our identity in the Lord. We say, Lord, give me confidence. I know you've made me in this way. But if we're not putting in the work, we're not going to feel that. You can pray, and prayer is powerful, and you can wish. But the Lord has given us this beautiful book with his words in it to remind us that he has created us for greatness. But we've got to get into that in order to believe it. If we go to the Lord and seek for his guidance and confidence, yet we don't put in the work, we aren't going to feel it. Same way with the test. If you don't study, if you don't put in the work, you're not going to feel confident, and it's going to be a guessing game. And like, yeah, it might work out for you, but wouldn't you rather feel confident knowing? Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." He will strengthen us. We've just got to run to him. And if you're like, I don't know where to start with the Bible, just start. Page one. Open. It's a very interesting story. The first chapter is so interesting. I bet anybody who just reads the Bible for the first time and starts with the first chapter will probably go on to read the second one. It's an interesting thing. What I like to do is look up things that I'm struggling with, look up things that I'm interested in, look up words that I don't understand. This morning I looked up circumcision. Okay. Pause. Don't look up circumcision. That's going to lead you to a scary thing. Don't go look up circumcision. I'm not telling you to do that. I looked up circumcision in the Bible and why it was important. I didn't look at pictures. I didn't look at videos. But I wanted to know the significance of like waiting 8 days to be circumcised, because that's how they did things back then. I don't know. I didn't know. I was just curious. Well, I'm telling you this because I'm just curious. I'm not telling you to look up circumcision. Okay. Anyways, whatever. Nothing is silly to look up, and the internet is a great tool to be able to look up things in the Bible, especially when you don't know where to start. Don't start with circumcision. Anyways, that's the last I'll save that. Start with Psalms. Psalms are a great way to just kind of like get introduced. I really connect with the stories. Look up top 10 most popular stories in the Bible. And you're like, well, what can a story have to do to relate me with confidence? You can find and relate to so many of these stories presented in the Bible that are factual, that are real. And you can see how God has strengthened these people, or used these sad times to teach these people lessons. Or, I mean, there's so many things that you can relate to. And the beautiful thing about the Bible is that there's stories, but everyone relates differently because they're universal. They never, you know, end. There isn't like that's old news now. Like, you know, Frozen, it's kind of like, oh, well, it's overplayed. So like, it's not really that good anymore. You know, like, it's not like that. I mean, if you love Frozen, I love Frozen. I just think it's a little overplayed. So it kind of takes the love out of it for me. What I'm saying is that's not the case. The Bible has been around forever, and yet it's still so prevalent. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6 says, "So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" At the end of the day, I know a lack of confidence stems from the approval of other people. It does. So speak this verse over and over in your head. Hebrews 13, 6. "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" What can people do to me that will make me not loved and cherished and going to the kingdom of heaven? Like, what can people do to take that away from me? Nothing. It's promised me. When I accepted Jesus Christ into my Lord, When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, as the being who took over my whole life, I accepted him into my heart. The Holy Spirit lives within me, right? Therefore, I can find my confidence in him. So when I find my confidence in him and speak with confidence that I know that he loves me and that I am going to heaven, what can people do? What can people do to tear me down? What work can teachers give me that truly make me incapable of doing anything in life. Like, almost think of like the worst case scenario, like when you're not confident in what you want to do with your life and you start stressing about like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. Okay, worst case scenario, you end up on the side of the road, no money, no nothing. Now that's not the case, but it's like, okay, well, what are the steps to get there? You know, because I genuinely thought like I'm going to end up like that. But sometimes those people are the happiest people in the world. Anyways, that's a side note. But what I'm saying is, okay, if that's the worst case scenario and I'm here right now, what steps in between that are going to lead me there? Okay, so I'm here at Belmont University. I'm studying musical theater. Well, maybe I don't want to do that. If I change my major junior year, I think it's going to be too late, but I'll go ahead and change it. If I change it my junior year, then I'm going to work super, super, super hard and kind of like run myself into the ground, not get all of my deadlines, get F's in all my classes, and then be burnt out those last 2 years. Then I'll fail college. If I fail college, then what? Well, then I guess I'll have to go back home, but then my parents are going to support me because I need to make money on my own. Okay, so then go get a job. Okay, well, I can't get this job. I can't get this job because I don't have a degree. If I don't have a degree, well, work at McDonald's. Save. Okay, well, that doesn't pay enough for this, 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 and this, and this, and this. There are people that will help you. The Lord is your strength. The Lord isn't going to give you something that you can't handle. But the thing is, your version of success might not be the actual version of success that you need. The Lord wants you to prosper, but He doesn't want you to prosper to the point where you make the earth your only idea of where your goal should be, right? If your goal is to be great while you have life on this earth, then you may not prosper in that. If my version of success is having a ton of money, the Lord might humble me and say, sorry, girl, like, that's not the point of life. That's not success. But when you trust in the Lord and know, okay, in all honesty, worst case scenario, I'm not going to end up like that because there's so many things that would have to happen. And the Lord has got me. And it may not look the way that I think it's going to look, but it's going to look the way that it's supposed to look. That's what truly matters. So at the end of the day, when you lack that confidence and you say, I'm not confident because of blank, speak these verses over to you. Remind yourself that your confidence is found in the Lord. Remind yourself that the Lord thinks you are perfect. Well, we aren't. We are not perfect. He is the only perfect thing. But He created you in His image and He is perfect. Therefore, the image He created. You know what I mean? We're not perfect. That's another thing you can remind yourself when you lack confidence is you don't have to be perfect. There's no possible way you can be at all. We're not. You can't be perfect. Have confidence in the fact that the Lord has made you the way He's made you and truly start to find who you are. It's a beautiful journey. You can do it. I have faith in you because I love you and Jesus loves you. And that's life. That was a really good transition. I'm proud of myself. Wow. Good job, Abby.